Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 all you entertainment holics out there in entertainment land. This is Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, coming at you live each and every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. Or for our Hispanic brethren out here in LA, Numero Uno. We are also syndicated on iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, Sonos, SoundCloud, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, and Spotify. Soon to be on Deezer once I stop being lazy and dealing with all my other shit and can actually put it on there. Anyway, I'm a very busy bitch. What do you want from me? We have a lot of stuff going on, coming up and whatnot. Let's see, let's go to the room. I don't care Marco Lesher right now.
He knows we're on the air.
I love you, Marco. His show's tomorrow night.
So, he knows we're on live now.
Yeah, I know.
Tell him we're worldwide.
We're worldwide, bitch.
You know what I mean?
Hit us up.
Well, anyway, right now.
Today we're going to do our quick little countdown of concerts and whatnot, play our commercials, get it all out of the damn way.
Okay.
So that we can fully focus on our guest today.
Jay
Butler. Author and poet, Jay Butler.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yes, that's what we are here for today. But what I usually do at the beginning and end of the broadcast for like a couple minutes, 2-3 minutes, whatever, you know, we do a little breakdown real quick about concerts and whatnot. So we've got some different concerts coming up. I got some of my promoters out there who want us to do a concert shout out here. This is on Facebook. You can get it. It's Wolf Hunter Birthday. Infamous Wolf Hunter Productions. They're hosting a show on Friday, January 18th, from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that is Mona Moon. Shout out to Mona Moon.
Oh, okay.
And from the Boulevard. Shout out to the Boulevard. Because we're going to be hosting concerts there starting next month on February 8th. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's my mom's birthday.
Oh, yes. We're going to have some great times.
All right.
Okay, I guess we're going to be partying out for your mother.
Hell yeah.
Rock on. You can tell me if there's any specific bands you want me to, you know, book and stuff.
No.
Okay, well, we'll get into that later. Anyway, Friday, January 18th. That's a good time at La Zona Rosa at 1010 East Caesar East Chavez Avenue. That's just a lot to say. East Caesar East Chavez.
No, Caesar East Chavez.
Oh, well, you know.
That's, you know, where Sunset
funny.
Connect.
I'm being funny. Get it? East. I'm an asshole anyway. 1010 East Caesar East Chavez Avenue. Cesar East Chavez.
Right.
Avenue. Los Angeles, California, 90033. Go down there, La Zona Rosa, on Friday, January 18th. And this is Mona Moon and Anna Ortiz. Really awesome, amazing women and awesome, amazing producers and promoters
right
here in LA.
Cool.
And the whole SoCal area. So thank you very much. But we're going to have, so it's going to be a bunch of bands, but the it's Wolf Hunter Birthday.
So. Oh, okay.
That's going to be great. So here's a Scrap Metal, Oryx, Trix, I can't pronounce half of these bands' names. That's what's wrong. Trifixion. This is just wrong. Inferatus. I know that one. That's her band, actually. That's Mona Moon's band.
Right.
Inferatus. I know that one. Sacred Origin, Asphyxia, Perfidious Sin. That's just wrong. Necroseizure. I like that name.
That sounds
pretty damn good. Necroseizure.
Okay.
What kind of band is that?
I don't damn know, but it sounds awesome.
Probably. Anything, those that, anything like that punk rock or something that
metal genre. Something. It's yeah. Something to do with seizures. I'm amazing, imagining something.
I wonder how they came up with the name.
I don't know, but it's badass. Like necromancer. That's how you play the drums or something? Yeah. Autoerotic asphyxiation is not what we're talking about here. Get your mind out of the fucking gutter. 51 years old. Fucking gutter. Anyway, I'm Jennifer DeVoe, a.k.a. Jenny, and this is JJ, a.k.a. The Muse.
Hello, Facebook.
Hosts and producers of this damn show.
Right.
This craziness that we call Jenny's Real Talk on the block. Yeah. Fatal Substance and Moonrise Requiem. All right, that's a lot of bands. I love it. It's a birthday celebration. So go on out for that one. Shout out to Mona Moon and Anna Ortiz. Rock on. There's a lot of shows going on. Let's see. I don't know what the hell Nathan's got going on. Let's see, Youngblood Productions. I should know, considering I'm part of the production team. That's just fucking wrong. All right, let's see. What is he got going on for concert? Oh, wait, Jellyfest.
Oh.
Jellyfest is a big one. Jellyfest, you have to come out to. It's Green Jello. I don't know if you know Green Jello. Little pig, let me in. Remember they did the claymation video and everything? It's one of the most famous videos ever. Yes. And so it's them. They got sued by Jello. Because their name was Green Jello. So wow. They had to change their name. So now it's Green Jelly.
Wow.
But my brother, shout out to Nathan Young of Youngblood Productions.
Right.
He is part of that craziness. He's their bassist. Their LA bassist. Now, shout out to Bill Manspeaker. We love you. And I'm going to be doing an interview with you. And I'm going to trap you in a closet so you can't get away. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He gave me a hug last time, and I only talked to him for 2 minutes. So I think I can get an interview.
Right.
I should be okay. As long as they don't stick his guards on me. Security! This bitch is harassing me. Anyway, Jellyfest is January 25th. Which is my older sister Wendy's birthday.
Happy birthday, older sister Wendy.
Well, that's in like
three
weeks or something. But yeah, shout out. Rock on.
Right.
Mine's the 30th.
Happy birthday, baby. Happy birthday.
Yeah, but guess what I'm having on my show that day?
Orgy. Not an orgy, but band orgy.
Oh, I wanted people to think certain things. It might make people want to watch more. They'll tune in for that. Jenny Streel, Talk of the Block, orgy broadcast.
Be all on the table,
wrong.
Huh?
That's just wrong.
Magic Mike.
Magic Mike. Alrighty then. That'd be real fun and up in there. They might get lawsuits on that one. But no, the band, we are friends with the amazing alternative rock band Orgy, and they will be on our show yet again on January 30th, my birthday Wednesday, which is also the lead singer Jay Gordon's birthday.
Right.
So I share a birthday with the lead singer of Orgy, which I'm friends with, and I'm very happy. It makes me excited. It makes me happy.
How are you going to turn, 25?
Yes, I'm going to be 25.
See, he's getting big props for that one.
Very big props, considering my son will be 21 in August.
Mine will be 28 in August.
Damn. Yeah. Time goes by so fast. Yeah. We'll also wait until I was 25 to have children, so that's a good thing.
Oh, that is a good thing.
Yeah.
I waited. My younger sister was not so fortunate. She was like 19 when she had hers. And so he's like a year older. Shout out to my nephew Jonathan.
Right.
I love that boy. That's a good kid right there. All right, we got a show this Saturday, January 5th, at the Universal Bar and Grill right here in North Hollywood, California.
That's up the street from here,
y'all. It's right up the street from here. We are in Sherman Oaks right now at our lovely broadcasting studios at LA Talk Radio.
And we also broadcast where?
I already said it.
Oh, I thought you
The
did.
Syndication. We already went there.
Oh, okay. No. Well, I need to know again.
But if you'd like to, you can go listen to my other radio show. No, I'm working on that one. That's a work in progress. Anyway, so this Saturday, January 5th, at the Universal Bar and Grill in North Hollywood, California, we have Mikaru, our buddy Michael Cohen. What up, buddy? He's going on from 8 to 8:30. Jeff Gold, he's a solo artist. He was going on from 8:45 to 9:15. Then we got Amargo, our buddies from Amargo. Yeah. Yes, Hispanic metal band. We love them, guys. 9:30 to 10 p.m. Shout out to their manager, Carlos. We have Love and a 38.
That sounds interesting.
I know. I can't wait. It's exciting. Love and a 38. They were referred to us by Amargo. By Carlos from Amargo, the manager, yes. They're playing from 10:15 to 10:45. Then we have Sleaze Stack. Thank you to Anna Ortiz, which will be at the Universal Bar and Grill on Saturday, January 5th. So if you know Anna Ortiz, come on down. She's a very big promoter here in the SoCal, especially LA area. So come on down and hang out with us and party with us. We're going to have a great time. Sleaze Stack is going to play from 11 to 11:45 p.m. Then we have the amazing band, $20 Profits, massive potheads, like the Hood Life hippies. they're going to be smoking us out.
Oh,
they already said so. So that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, they're going to get us high, like high as a motherfucker. Okay, good. That's you know, from 12 to 12:45 a.m. If they want to play till 1 a.m., I told them I don't give a shit.
Right.
12 to 1, whatever. You know, you're getting me high. You can play a whole hour. I really don't care. I'm gonna lose track of time. As long as we're on schedule, I don't fucking care.
We're like a virgin. Gives no fucks.
Exactly. Exactly. So, all right. And then Sunday, January 6th at the 5-Star Bar, 267 South Main Street in downtown Los Angeles, California, 90012. Come on down to the 5-Star Bar this Sunday, January 6th, and see amazing bands. Again, we have Mikaru from 8 to 8:30, Amargo, 8:45 to 9:15. Then we have Punk Rock band On the Run from 9:30 to 10. We have the amazing, I don't even know what style of music these guys are, but they're hardcore, like death metal, or I don't know what they are, but they're hardcore. DMT.
Okay.
If you love DMT as much as we do, come on down from 10:15 to 11 p.m. They're going to be playing. And then we have Cesar Cardona from 11:15 to midnight. Our buddy Alejandra Arellano. Thank you.
Yeah.
We love
Shout
you.
Out.
All right. And then next Friday, January 11th, at Petey's Place, we have 09, Bad Planet, Megalomaniac, and Baron D'Avril. Again, Alejandra Arellano.
It's a group called DMT.
Yes, DMT.
Wow.
Yep, yep. They are really hardcore too. They're like, you're a scam. You're getting hung up on. Thank you. Bye. Yeah. Have a nice day. Anyway, I'm like a virgin. I give no fucks. I'm like my husband. Okay, so that's what we got going on the next 2 weeks here. Good enough. And then we have other shows coming up. We'll announce later. But
right.
We are here to talk with our guest today, Jay Butler.
Yes.
Author and poet.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
What's up?
You came all the way from Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
Houston, Texas. Oh, man.
He flew in.
Right.
Flew in yesterday.
Yeah.
From fucking Houston, Texas, dude.
That's crazy.
Dedication.
Fuck yeah.
That's dedication to your craft.
Thank
right
you.
There. Hey, we appreciate you.
You want to know a funny story? I almost missed the flight.
Damn.
I had looked at the ticket wrong, you know.
Oh, shit.
It says, I thought it said 6 o'clock in the morning Wednesday, but it said 6 o'clock in the morning Tuesday.
Oh, ooh. Damn.
So I just, Bestie saved the day.
Thank
so
God.
I just got off of work, and I looked at the ticket. It says, no, you got to be there at the airport 4 more hours.
Jesus.
So I got home at 12 o'clock, almost 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, oh, man, I got to get everything ready.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn. I almost missed the flight.
That's crazy. Well, I'm glad you didn't.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here. Glad you made it.
I'm glad you liked the book, you know.
Oh, it was, damn. I was reading some of those poems. It was crazy. It was hardcore. Look at this.
Oh, yeah, that's my breast cancer shirt. My cancer is beautiful.
Oh, okay.
My cancer is beautiful.
And the poem is on the back.
I read that poem. And my mom passed from cancer when I was about to turn 14.
Oh, for real?
So, yeah. So, I know, you know, and I have I had a grandfather pass from cancer also. So, I know there's a lot of people out there who have lost people to cancer. And
yeah,
this is, you know, this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Exactly. We've all had, most of us in life have had someone touched by cancer.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? I've had a boss whose son passed away from cancer.
Yeah, my
you know, so
my mentor, how I got started writing poems with cancer, I had a mentor named Miss Lisa Reed, rest in peace, and she at first I wanted her to design a logo for me for breast cancer. Then she said, I have an event throwing. Can you write? Do you know how to write poems for breast cancer? I said, yeah, but I really didn't. I said, yeah, you know. So I just started meditating on it, like, how do I start a poem for breast cancer, you know? And I just prayed about it, and it just came to me. And I say, I got a poem for breast cancer, and I started writing breast cancer. I have two poems for breast cancer in the book. I really have three in total, but only two is in the book. And that's how we met, you know. I needed her for a logo at first, and she became my mentor, became a friend, you know, and she always looked out for me. And her sister, America, she's my mentor now, you know, and she keeps me on my feet, you know. She helps me out, look out for me, and I'm thankful for that.
Oh, that's nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a nice logo, too.
Oh, I appreciate it.
It looks like it's a good T-shirt. Very nice.
Oh, yeah, my friend from India, she designed the logo, you know. And,
that's good.
Yeah, she did amazing. I like it. You know, everybody said they like it, you know. So my friend Kiana, she printed out the shirts. Thank you, Kiana, for the shirts, you know.
All right, shout out to Kiana.
Yeah.
Right on.
Thank you. Yeah. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Well, it's good when you have people that help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you're doing a good cause.
Yeah, know? Thank you so much.
Yeah.
In the book, I got poems for domestic violence, breast cancer, AIDS, addiction.
Single mothers.
Yeah.
Women. Like being respectful of women. Things that, the first poem alone was like crazy.
Yeah, like I was raised in a house full of women, my mom, my grandma, my auntie, so I saw a lot.
I saw that. Like I studied psychology, so when I read your poetry, I was like, this is a man who was raised by maybe a single mother or a household of women.
Yeah.
And has respect for females and right. understands their plight and their plunder. But he also was, you know, talking about the black struggle. He talked about a lot of different struggles within his poetry. And I could identify with a lot of the stuff that he was talking about. You know, I'll pull it up.
My favorite poem in the book is called "The Revolution Will Be Televised," and I got this guy I like. One of my favorite poets is called. His name is called Gil Scott Heron.
Oh yeah.
And he wrote a poem called "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised."
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I did a remake of it. The Revolution Will Be Televised. You know, and I was just telling in the poem. I was telling a little history of. I think I put Sarah Bartman. Her name is Sarah Bartman. Well, back in the day, it was a lady named Sarah Bartman, and she was shaped different. And these Europeans, they was obsessed with her body because she had wide hips. So they put her in the circus, promised she was gonna get paid, but she never got paid. And so basically, she was like. Doing a different thing. They put her in a circus and she was flying around these guys, and make a long story short, she ended up dying. They said she died of loneliness and disease, you know.
And
I think I put that in the poem, but I was just telling, I want people to know, like, you know, the history, you know, things that went on. And in another part of the poem, I talk about, I said, when we don't stand up for the national anthem, it's not about the flag, but it's about America not standing up for us, you know. I want a lot of people to know, like, it's not about the flag at all. It's about how America never stood up for us, you know?
No.
You know, and
good point.
It's not just African-Americans. It's like, it's you got white people, Hispanic people, you know? The people who struggle, you know, they get they get looked down upon, you know? So it's not about the flag. It's about America not standing up for the American people, you know?
Mm. Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, so I just want people to know that, you know, it's never about the flag, you know?
I dig this shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know I only pick good subject, man.
Right.
I never have a guest on that, come on now.
No flakes.
Come on now. I'm particular about I book. Come on now.
Yeah, I just want to shout out to... all the people who going through addiction, you know, I just want you to know, man, to stay strong. And sometimes we allow the wrong things to be distractions, you know.
Mm,
we allow things that that fulfill us temporary to be a distraction, you know. You know, things that feels good for a brief moment, you know, it allows to go on the wrong side of the road. But I just want people to know, don't allow things to be a distraction, you know, to stay focused. You know, we all know where we want to go in life, but what kills us is the pit stops we make in life. We say to ourselves, we're only going to be here for 5 minutes, but 5 minutes turn to like 10 years, you know, 20 years. And it's like, man, what happened? We made that pit stop. So don't make the pit stops. Keep going. If you know where you want to be in life, just keep chasing your dream. Don't get distracted, you know, because that pit stop, it looks good. Like, man, it looks like it's fun right here, you know. I'm just going to have one drink. But that one drink turned into like 5 drinks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going to keep leaving. But it's like, the more you drink, the more that distraction looks appealing, you know.
Right.
So I just want to tell the people, don't stop at the pit stops, you know. You know, keep chasing your dream. It may seem like a long journey, but after you complete that goal, you're gonna feel good, you know. That spiritual feeling lasts forever, but the feelings that please the flesh only last for temporary, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, it does.
Completely makes sense. That's crazy. You have a lot of poems in there too, though.
Yeah.
A lot of good ones.
What's the name of this book again?
7-Day Confessions.
Mm-hmm.
7-Day Confessions.
Yeah. The reason I picked the number 7 because 7 is a holy number and it means completion. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know?
7 days of creation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
makes sense.
I was looking at, like, when you read this book, you're gonna feel my presence. You're gonna feel a spiritual presence, you know, because everything I wrote from the heart, you know. And I never thought in a million years I'd be a writer, you know. I remember I used to pay people to write poems for me so I can impress females, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I used to know this dude in high school.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this dude was a Romeo, man. He always write
love. Romeo, huh?
Yeah, he wrote love poems. So I checked him out one time. Shit. I said, hey, man, I know this girl in fifth period. I like her. Can you write me a poem for fifth period? He said, yeah, I got you. He said, don't scratch my name off the bottom and try to claim it. I said, I'm not. As soon as he turned his back, I scratched his name off, put my name. And I said, here, I wrote you a poem. And she said, oh, I didn't know you write a poem. I was like, yeah. I was lying.
Yeah. That's smart, though. I didn't even thought about that one. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, on LA Talk on the Block, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, we always keep it real.
Right.
That's the whole point.
That's funny. I like that.
At least, see, he's being honest.
Right. Real talk.
I'd rather somebody be honest.
Yeah, because I didn't know how to write poetry at the time. Like, I didn't understand it. I didn't know
who the hell really ever knows how to write poetry? Unless you Kendrick Lamar. I don't even know.
I think it comes from pain and things you've been through.
Amen.
You know?
But it's just like writing a song. Songs are poetry.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Rhythm and poetry. It's all the same.
Yeah, it's crazy. I started writing poems when I became homeless, you know. Yeah, my first poem was like after I made it from being homeless. I wrote my first poem. One time I went to Denver. One time I got mad at an ex, and I said, I'm leaving. So I went to Denver. So I get to the bus station. Reality kicks in. I'm like, man, I don't know nobody here. What I'm going to do now? You know, okay. I had $900 in my pocket. And I was like, man, where I'm going to go? I tried to go to a homeless shelter. They said I was too old. So,
huh?
Yeah, they said I was too old. They wouldn't let me go. You know,
which homeless shelter were you trying to get into? Youths R Us. I mean,
yeah, I was in downtown Denver, you know, and
damn.
I stayed. I met this lady. She was an alcoholic, and I said, "Hey, if I pay you some money, can I stay here?" I stayed there for a couple of weeks, and then that didn't work out. And make a long story short, I went to this other place. I don't know her name. I stayed there, and this guy who was shooting up, he said, man, you don't need to be around us doing all these drugs. I'm going to take you to this place. And this place was like it's almost like a YMCA. Like they teach the kids how to produce, make music, how to write. It's like for kids who ran away or who's on drugs. So,
oh, okay.
One time this lady, she came to me, she said, are you going to get on stage and do spoken word? And I said, no, I don't understand it. I don't know how to write it. And she asked me, do you not tell the truth? I said, yeah, that's easy. She said, well, that's all poetry is. It's telling the truth. And I've been writing poetry ever since.
Hmm.
Hmm.
And it's for some reason that that always stuck with me. That's all it is, telling the truth, you know.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
just how your life just came in, and just you just by how your life, I went here and this happened to me, and I had to go here and this and that and the other, and then you just found your calling through some random person.
Yeah, I went to Colorado. I ain't know nobody, you know.
Right.
No family, no friends. I got to the bus station. I'm like, man. Reality kicked in. Like, well, what am I going to do now? Where am I going to stay? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I had a big box of clothes, carrying it there, where I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You just flipped a coin. It was like either, you know, Florida or, you know, Colorado, and you flipped a coin or something?
No, me and my ex got into an argument. I say, I'm leaving, man. She thought I was going back to Arkansas, but I went to the Ground bus station. I was like, man, I always wanted to go to Colorado. You know, and
tears in the bucket.
Yeah, I was like, well, I'm just
let's
gonna
just
go
do this. Screw it.
So I said, yeah, I'm just gonna go to Denver, you know. And I went there, then everything was fun until I got off the bus. I was like, dang.
You should have picked a warmer place.
I was like, dang. Well, yeah, then I had shorts on, so I was cold, you know.
No. Of all places, you could have went to Hawaii or something.
You know, so
funny boy.
I was like,
oh man,
live on the beach.
So I didn't want to call my ex, like, man, can you give me a ticket back? I was like, no, you know, I was like, I'm gonna just tough it out, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's not gonna happen.
Oh man, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy.
The adventures,
man.
We go on,
man.
You know, where?
Well, you was on one. That's how you ended up here. On an adventure.
Which time?
And I found out it was legal to smoke weed out there. I didn't know they it's legal to smoke weed out there in Denver. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was here
in L.A. too, but not in public.
Look, I was born and raised here, and people that smoke weed in L.A. don't give a fuck. We've always done it.
So you can walk in L.A. right now and
you
smoke a joint?
No. That's all you're going to smell.
No,
is weed.
No, they'll still give you a ticket, trust and believe. I got one.
So you can't go outside and smoke?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
And you can't smoke.
Well, we do it.
Property.
We still don't care.
Yeah.
We've always not cared.
We still do it. We just, you know, watch around, you know, make sure, you know.
We've never not cared. Like, as long as I've
make sure there's not like cops around.
From the 80s and shit. We never give a fuck. We always smoke weed where we wanted to for the most part. I mean,
but they'll still give you a ticket.
Yeah, we knew the risk. Yeah. We just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I do it regularly. But I got a ticket not too long ago. That was just a crazy thing.
What, 6 months ago?
Yeah, and then he got arrested.
July. Yep, I went to jail for the 4th of July.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
He hates fireworks anyway.
Yeah, so I was cool. I was in there with the drunks and the drug addicts. Anyway. I didn't give a fuck.
I was just sharing the video TV everywhere so that way people can see.
Oh, all right.
I wanted the video to be shared. All right, so here we go. 7-day confessions. I have, okay, here's the first one. You will never know the struggle of a woman.
Yeah.
Okay, what made you write that one, and was it about anybody specific, or was it something you were feeling?
Believe it or not, like all the women that I met in my life, they all been through domestic violence or molested by a family member, an uncle, or a dad, or been at the wrong spot, the wrong place at the wrong time,
been raped,
and so all my female friends, I hear the stories they tell me, like. And it's like, man, it just, I was like, man, that's crazy. It's like, you don't think that those type of things happen to people. It seemed like all those things happen in movies, you know, like until you actually hear the story, it's like, dang, this sounds like something in a movie. And so I turned poems and conversations into poetry, you know. Mm. And it's like, I know most of my female friends, they are single parents, you know. The guy said, oh, I can't be with you. I don't want to be a father to my kid, you know? So it's like, dang, that's crazy. You know, like, it's just crazy to hear stuff like that, you know? And, I had one, female friend. She said, she was pregnant one time and her and a dude got into an argument. She was trying to leave out the door. And, as she was coming out the door, trying to leave out the door, he grabbed her by her legs and she fell on her stomach and lost the baby, you know?
That's sad.
And my mom, she had 3 jobs, you know. She tried to make sure every year I had the best birthday parties, you know. And
been there.
So I seen a lot, you know. And women go through a lot, you know. Women get offered sex 100 times a day. It's like
Whether we want it or not. So especially woman, not.
A woman can't.
We don't like dick pics. Stop sending them.
Please,
we don't want them. Yeah. I don't care what your penis looks like.
Yeah, you know, so.
Anyway.
Yeah,
I just had to do a PSA for a second there.
Yeah, I just see I see what they go through, you know.
Public service announcement. Had you
know,
to do it.
You know, then it's like, you know, a woman had to dress messed up just to keep a guy away. Sometimes that don't even work, you know.
Yeah, you wear no look no. I wear no eyelashes, no makeup. Barely brush my hair. You know, like I'll do this sometimes on purpose. Wear baggy jeans, baggy t-shirt, baggy jacket. Don't really give a crap. Walk out, go to the store. Still get hit on 10 times.
I think when you dress down, you get hit on more for some reason.
I don't know why.
I do. Like,
what is wrong with you people? Are you...
Yeah, that's crazy, you know?
Sadists.
It's crazy. But yeah, this seeing what a lot of women go through in society, you know, it inspired me to write that poem. It's like you got women with 3 or 4 kids still going to school, going to work. So I just want to say for all the women who got 3 kids going to school and going to work, continue to do a great job. Continue to be that hero to your kids. You know, I know the journey seem like it's rough, but. You got somebody here that's rooting for you. You know, continue to go to school. Don't get distracted. And just stay on the right path, man.
Yep. I agree. You know, if they'll listen, that'd be great. Okay, the second one. I really identified with this one, too. A Daughter's Love.
Oh, yeah.
let's talk about that one.
A Daughter's Love. It's not, it's like a metaphor. A daughter's love is not talking about a little girl. It's talking about you marry a woman, that's somebody's daughter. You know, when a daughter's love is so pure, you know, when her parents love her so much, she carry on that love in her relationship. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's so pure, it makes a man insecure. It's like he's not used to being loved that much. You know, he's not used to having that kind of love that's so pure. So it's like when you are doing something right, you're doing something wrong, because he seemed like, to him, it's like, man, it's too good to be true. He don't know how to appreciate that love that's pure. Mm. And it's like, he got to make you feel bad about yourself. In order for him to feel good, he got to make you feel bad, you know?
Been there.
And that's why I say when a daughter's love is so pure, it's like, it's amazing, you know, because every man can't handle that kind of love. It takes a special person to handle love that's so pure. And I'll just think about it. I was just daydreaming. I was like, man, I wonder what it's like to have that kind of love. Well, I just wonder what a woman go through when she loves so hard and she's doing everything she's supposed to do and is still not appreciated. I was just meditating on it, and it just came to me. You know, it's like every man can't handle that kind of love. You know, and what I would say about that is like. Be in love, but leave room for common sense, you know? Sometimes we can love somebody so hard we're blind and disaster happens, you know? But be in love, but have room for common sense, meaning that be in love with that person, but leave room where if something does happen, it won't hurt as bad, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Don't be blinded by love, you know?
Right. I just like that. When you said, it's a shame that a little girl becomes a victim to the oppressors, teachers, and the professors. Yeah, man.
Yeah. I wrote that part because it's just like when you have favorites with the siblings, you know. The one that's pure sometimes don't get the beating. It's the one that it's not like the most get the beatings, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, when you the little girl is in school, she becomes a victim because for some reason she's a favorite. She's a favorite because she's a good person, you know. Good person becomes victim for some reason, you know. It happens all the time. A girl is so pure. All she wanna do is live life, you know, be loved, get an education, and live her dreams. Yes. But you got some people who are not in the right state of mind or who desire that, you know, but it's not meant for him to have it. So he wanna indulging that in a way, so
that little girl becomes a victim, you know? Right. And she becomes a victim because she trusts him, because she never thinks somebody would hurt her because she's a good person.
Right.
So that's why I say she becomes a victim to the oppressors, you know? You know, as an adult, you know more than a kid, so you know what to say to get that little girl to follow you, or you know the words to say so she can trust you.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was talking about. That kind of stuff.
This stuff is deep.
I told people. I warned them. I put out a warning on there. I said, if you can't handle this type of subject matter, you know what I mean? It might not. It's not for everybody.
Right.
So this is deeper. It's intense. It's deep thinking. It's deep, you know, deeply intense, you know? So people have to be able to understand and handle this type of subject matter. He's talking about deep subjects, you know, like
Another poem I like is called My Voice Was Silence. And I actually had somebody do a painting for me. I have a painting called My Voice Is Silence, and the way I visualized it, it looked just like I wish I would have brought it, you know. But in the poem, it's called My Voice Is Silence. What it is, a little girl was being molested at 10 years old, and every time she wanted to tell, the father would subject her to fear, make her scared to tell. So in the poem, she writing a letter to her mom saying, this is the only way I think I could be free. So she ended up killing herself, you know.
Oh,
and
sad.
So that's why it's called My Voice Is Silence, because she never got a chance to speak or tell what was going on, you know.
Right. A lot of children don't.
So while the mom was at work, he's starving the child, you know, just making her go through so much. And at 10 years
just
old.
A little kid, man. The fuck that little kid ever do to you, asshole? I'm just saying.
And, how I came with that poem was because I was watching a show, and in the show, they said the little girl was in a chest for like so many years. A chest which you put clothes in. I think you call it a chest.
Yeah.
And they said she was in there so long, she her body was like, she couldn't stand up straight. So I was like, I wonder how she was feeling. I was trying to put myself in her shoes, and God showed me a vision, and I just wrote what I saw, you know, like from her being in the closet starving, and it's like I can see the vision clear. It's crazy. I can see everything in the poem the girl was going through. I was seeing it, you know, and the more I meditated on it, the more the vision got real, you know, and that's how I came up with it, you know. And that's why I tell people, anything I do, I learn something from. When I watch TV, it's not just entertainment. I'm learning something from what I'm watching.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, some people just watch it for entertainment. But it's like, if you're watching it for entertainment, you're blind to the vision, to the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Even when I'm watching Law and Order.
Yeah.
I'm learning. I'm watching it not just because, you know what I'm saying? Not just because it's entertaining, but because you learn something from it. It's intelligent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just one example of many. You know what I'm saying? Of things that we watch, movies, television, you know, different books that we read.
Yeah.
Anything, you know? Right. It could influence us.
Yeah, that's why I tell people, don't just do it for entertainment, you know what I'm saying? Do it, learn something from it, you know?
Exactly.
You know, I tell people, don't do something because it's cool. Do it because it's real, because it's right.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And I think a lot of kids have that problem, you know. They do it because it's cool, not because it's right or because it's real, you know. Because in that moment, they think cool is like they can get an advancement or get a special privilege because it's cool. Somebody like it. Okay, they can fit in, you know. I guess because they want to fit in.
Instant gratification, and they want the biggest thing is they want to fit in.
Yeah.
Be accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I just want to tell people, you know, you're already cool because you was created. You know what I'm saying? Your mom could have had an abortion, could have had a miscarriage, you know? Your mom could have put you on a doorstop and said she didn't want you, you know? So, if your mom didn't do you like that, grateful, be
doorstep
thankful.
Doorstep at an orphanage.
Yeah. You are cool. You are important. You are special because your mom still paying the light bill so you can do your homework so she can cook a hot meal for you, you know? And I also tell kids, every day you leave your house, make sure you tell your mom what you love about her, how much you love her. Tell her thank you for paying the light bill so I can do my homework. Thank you for keeping the lights on because I can have a hot meal. Because I know some kids don't get hot meals. They only get cereal. They only get crumbs, you know. They get treated like animals.
Which is horrible.
So every day, tell your mom what you love about it. Tell her how grateful you are. Thank you for taking me to school because I know some kids get kidnapped when they walk to school. So thank you for loving me so much. You drive me to school. You know, thank you for being overprotective, you know. So we should tell our moms how grateful we are every day we leave the house, you know. I call my mom all the time every day, like, Mom, I thank you for everything you've done for me, you know. And the worst thing you have to face knowing that your mom not going to be there, you know, your mom going to pass away. That's a hard thing I got to deal with every day, knowing that I won't be able to see her smile every day. I won't be able to hear her say my name or call me, you know. I won't be able to hear her say, did you put on cologne today? And I say, Mom, I did it already, you know.
Right.
But so it's like.
Yeah, treasure
even,
that.
Yeah, even though I say, man, I ain't a little kid no more. I'm going to miss her saying that one day, you know. So
he and I, we've already lost our mothers.
Yeah.
Me too.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. I lost my mom, 9 days before I turned 14? And you lost your mom, you were what? How old were you, 30?
Yeah, I was in my 30s.
30, something like that? Yeah.
Lost my mom like a year ago.
Yeah. Ooh, sorry for that. But yeah, treasure your mom, totally. Yeah. You know, especially if you have a good mom.
Without her.
If you have a good mom. Well, that number one, that's great. You know, but that doesn't always make you a mother. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Just because you birthed a child does not make you a mother.
I agree.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like you spit out some sperm and donated it to create a child,
right,
does not make you a father.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right. Anybody can be a father. Anybody can be a mother, but it takes a special person to be a mom or a dad. There is a difference.
Absolutely.
My dad was a dad. My dad is a dad. I appreciate you, Dad. I love you. Happy New Year's. I love my parents very much. I mean, I have my stepmother, you know what I mean? But she, you know, I have mixed emotions about my mother because she was extremely abusive.
Your stepmother?
My biological mother. But she also had mental disorders.
Yeah.
And wasn't getting help that she really needed.
Yeah.
And so I have to think about what she was going through as well. I mean, I'm not saying us kids deserved it. I'm just saying I try to understand.
Because
I also have, as you just saw, me taking medication.
Because sometimes we don't.
I have mental disorders as well. So, you know what I mean? So, because I inherited it. Thank you, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
I love her because, you know, she gave me life. I love her because she kept me and she didn't do everything wrong. She did a lot of great stuff too. It wasn't all completely horrible.
Yeah.
Could have been a million times worse. There are children out there who have it a million times worse.
Yeah. One thing I told my mom when I was in Vegas, I said, the one thing I regret the most is, I spent more time arguing with you than, loving you, you know, when I was little. Mm-hmm.
And it just changed that.
Yeah, I was real spoiled, you know, real shit.
That's the problem. See, I spoiled my son. Yeah. I spoiled my son, and I still kind of do.
Yes, you do.
I know, but he really needs help. And he's really trying.
You go a little bit beyond.
Okay, I do. But he really tries.
I'm not saying.
He's really trying.
I know he needs help sometimes. I'm not talking about
He's really trying. I know I go a little further, but he's my boy.
Like a mile or two or 40.
He does the tour at our concerts, and he's a good kid, and he's really trying. And he still tries to work. He's trying to get a real job. Stop that.
I know that. I'm not.
All right, there
that.
You go. Exactly. So I know. I do spoil my son a little bit. I'm sorry. I always have. But because I didn't have that type of relationship with my parent or parents, rather. I mean, I love my father very much, but he was, no offense, kind of a cold fish. It is what it is. He's just not like all touchy and feely and stuff. So he's more so now, but you know.
Yeah.
You get older and, you know, you soften up, I guess. Or something. I don't know. But shout out to I love my stepmother, though, Shirley. I love you, dude. She's like my mom, though. Like, she's become my mother, in my opinion. That's my mom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because she's been there since I was 15. You see what I'm saying? She's been there like longer than my you know, biological mother was. You know, she's been in my life like, you know, my parents just, I call them my parents. They just celebrated their 30th wedding anniversary in November. So see what I'm saying? I can't.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 30 years. Yeah. So I, you know, it's exactly. My parents take good care of themselves physically and they're, you know, they're good people. Yeah, they live in the tundra of Maine, way up north and by Canada. But I mean, I love your poetry. It speaks, you know, volumes.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's very deep. It's deep thinking. I mean, I'm going to give you some of the titles, some of the poems. Another one was "When a Woman Is Good." We have "It Doesn't Drizzle, It Rains." I wish I could be a better friend. I like that.
Oh yeah, that's what inspired me. I had a friend pass away named Isabel.
Okay.
And before she passed away, we had a disagreement, you know. But the disagreement was a misunderstanding. Well, it was. She used to be a psychologist, right? She stopped doing it, so she had to take a test, but she had to pay like I think a couple of thousand to take the test. Damn. And instead of paying for the test, she paid for a roof over our head. You know, she paid up the rent for 6 months. So when I used to get paid, I had to give her my whole check. So at the time, I was like, man, I'm giving her my whole check. I'm not making no, you know. So disagreement is about something like that. You know, like I was broke. Every time I get a check, I was broke. But now I realized, man, this woman actually paid the rent 6 months ahead of time, you know. So I was selfish, you know, instead of being a real friend, it's like not worried about giving her the money. I was like, dang, I'm giving her all my money, you know. And we had a disagreement, and I ended up leaving. And while I was asleep one time, I had a dream. And in the dream, I heard my voice say, all I had to do was apologize. And I didn't see her pass away, but it was a feeling I had like somebody had died. But I don't know. I didn't see nobody die. It's just like a feeling like, dang, somebody must have died. And I knew it had to be her because I heard my voice say all I had to do was apologize. So one day I said, I'm going to go see her. And we stayed in a duplex in the Montrose area in Houston. So I didn't go through the front door. So I went through the back stairs. I was going to go on the back side and go up the stairs. So when I was going up the stairs, I saw her watching TV, and I was scared to go approach her and say, hey, man, I apologize, and I want to make things right, you know. I just went back down the stairs. And so a week later, they say, I went to go see her. They say, Isabel passed away. So she was the person in my dream. That's why I said, man, all I had to do was apologize, you know.
Hmm.
And she was a great friend, you know. Like, she taught me a lot. She really, the reason why my poetry is so deep, she taught me how to look at something and tell a story. She showed me a picture one time and said, tell me what you see. I told her what I see. I see flowers and a crack in the concrete. She said, no, look at the picture and tell me what you see. And I really looked and I told a story about what I saw. The plant symbolized something and the crack in the concrete symbolized something. You know?
Yeah.
So she taught me how to tell a story about any little thing, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and she taught me how to walk different. When she saw me, she said, why you walk with a hump in your back? She said, you look like the world beating you down or something. She said, walk straight up with your head up, you know.
Right.
She said, people can feel your presence when you walk straight up with your head up, you know. And she taught me a lot. She was like a big sister that I never had, you know. So that's the reason for the poem. I wish I could have been a better friend, you know.
Regrets makes you think.
Yeah. Yeah, I regret. I wish she was still here because I can hear her right now. She used to say, do you know where I can get any pot? She never said weed.
Yeah, I call it pot also.
She's from Ethiopia, you know. And so she got
That's awesome.
She got a funny accent, you know. She say, you know where I get some pot? You know?
Pot.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that. Well, shout out to Isabel, wherever you are. I'm sure you're up there. You know, the good place.
Yeah, I always think about it when she'll be happy right now, you know, like she'd be so excited right now, you know, if she was still here.
Yes. Well, that's good. Dang, man, we're getting close. Holy crap. All right. We're going to be wrapping stuff up. It's already been 50 minutes. This
for real?
Is crazy. Yeah, dude.
Talk about fast.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that we can't talk about them right now. We're going to have you on again at some point. We got Remember Me. I have Tell Me What You Think.
Oh, that,
Stand Up and Fight.
Yeah, that's a poem for bullying.
The Darkness That Haunts Me. I love that. You gotta check out his book. Where can they find you? Where can they get their book? Where can they get your book? Like,
go on Amazon, 7 Day Confessions. On Amazon it's $2.99. If you get it straight from me, it's $10.99. I'm on Facebook, Jay Butler.
Can they get like a hard copy? Like, can they order like a hard copy version and stuff?
Yeah, you can order the hard copy on Amazon as well.
Nice.
And it's on Barnes and Nobles online.
Oh, all good. Right. Very good.
And you can find me on Instagram, Jay Butler Butler.
Facebook, same thing, Jay Butler Butler.
Yeah, that was a mistake. It didn't supposed to be Butler 2 times.
but no, yeah. What? There's too many damn Butlers out. Jay Butlers out there. You got to make your stand apart, Jay Butler Butler.
Well, I actually forgot my passcode to my regular Facebook. This Jay Butler. So
do you know how many people do that?
Yeah.
I have friends that have like 6 accounts. Anyway, we want to thank Jay Butler, author and poet.
Thank you.
Amazing stuff. Check out his work, 7 Day Confessions.
7 Day Confessions.
Go get it on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Please go buy it because it's really deep subject matter. Right. The poems
something
are just
you're gonna
crazy.
Feel.
You're going to really love this stuff. Trust and believe. I wouldn't have had him on my show if I didn't believe in that stuff. I'm going to play a couple shout outs real quick before we go.
Okay, I give a shout out to.
Go for it.
Shout out to my mom. Shout out,
mom.
What up, mom?
Shout out to Amanda. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shout out to, I got a female friend, Short Be Easy. She's a female rapper, Short Be Easy.
She got a
single, I'm Not Worried About That Talk. You can look her up on Facebook.
There you
Short
go.
Short Be Easy.
Shout
out to everybody who supported me, all my friends. This is for Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. All my cousins and family out
Rock
there, Arkansas.
On.
Hey,
we like it.
Arkansas is in the house. All right, Arkansas.
Yeah.
We love Arkansas.
Any shout outs where we're going? Yeah. Shout out.
shout out to America, my mentor, you know, my grandpa, he a pastor back home in Arkansas.
Hell
shout
out to him. All right.
Shout out
to cool. We like it.
Shout out to Abe, you know, Avian Jones, you know. Can I tell you a quick story real quick?
Really, really quick.
Well, I was going to say one thing cool about that I learned when I was homeless is I learned how to tell time without looking at a watch.
Right.
Nice.
When I heard a train or a bird, I knew what time it was by hearing a train or a bird or certain things I heard or something. I learned how to tell time. That's the coolest thing I learned about being
good.
Homeless.
Hey, I like it. People learn stuff from being homeless. I know we have.
Right. Not to be homeless anymore.
It's not cool about being homeless. We're saying
I met him at a homeless shelter downtown Los Angeles on Skid Row.
Oh, for real?
Skid Row.
A little over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We met. She was dating one of my friends.
Damn, you was dating your friend?
Then they broke up. Then we got together, and then we ended up getting married, and then we were
6 months later.
8 months later? 8 months later, we got married, and then we were together on a. We were together at
he
the.
He dated your friend.
Yeah,
and you knew about it.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Me neither.
He dated her for like on and off for 30 years or some fucking shit. So whatever. Like I give a crap.
I don't either.
Exactly. Wow. That's what matters. And shout out to Loretta. I love you.
That's your friend?
She's still my friend. I don't give a fuck. Shout out to my Loretta.
We don't care.
She's going to put holes in your tires when you get home.
We don't have a car.
We don't got a car. All right.
Well, you out of there, Loretta. You out of there.
We love you, Loretta. Dude. Please, this bitch. Please. This bitch would come over to my house. I come over to her house. We don't really care. We really don't. It's not like that.
Don't eat the food.
Don't eat the food.
Maybe something in your food.
Nah. It's not like that.
Now,
we're adults. That's the whole thing is being adults. You see what I'm saying? Being adults.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to shout out to Pepper. You know.
Shout out to Pepper.
Yeah.
Shout out to Pepper.
Pepper's in the house.
Exactly.
Pepper's in the house.
Exactly. Pepper's in the house.
Yeah. Pepper in the house.
Come check me out at the lodge room.
Trust me, believe we're gonna be talking business.
Right.
The lodge room.
Yes. Highland Park.
Highland Park. We love it. All right, now we're going to give a little shout-out at the end here, a little books that make you. We're going to do ours at the end. All right, we want to thank Jay Butler, especially coming from fucking Houston, Texas.
Right.
On an airplane, and we love you. How long are you going to be in town?
I leave Thursday.
God damn it. See, if you were in town till Saturday, you can come to some Saturday and Sunday, you can come to some concerts, but, you know.
Dang.
Do it L.A. style. That's all right.
I love it out here, though, man. It's beautiful.
It's very nice. Well, maybe, you know, yeah. Yeah, there's better places than Houston. I'm just saying.
I should have bought some pants. I don't got no pants. It's cold outside.
Oh, Jesus. You're thinking LA's going to be all warm and shit. Yeah. All right, anyway, we got to go. Till next week. Next week will be The Flood and Maliki Theory. So come on out to our show next week. We're going to have some great stuff going on. And we got concerts coming up. So check us out. Gabriel Global Entertainment. LLC, we're out of here for another week. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Books that make you laugh. Books that make you scream. Books that make you hope. And books that make you dream. What's on your bookshelf? Discover the books that make you who you are on booksthatmakeyou.com. Read book reviews, meet the authors who pour their souls into the books you love, and enter to win bookish prizes. If you're a bibliophile, then Books That Make You is your new best friend. Visit booksthatmakeyou.com or find us on Insta and Facebook.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.